reading from Scripture this morning is from 2 Timothy chapter 4. We will read the first 8 verses from verse 1 through to verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 1 to verse 8. Just so that the children know, Timothy was a young man, and Paul, the Apostle Paul, trained Timothy to become a minister, a teacher of Christ. Just like you all have been taught in the children's church, Paul also taught Timothy. Lord, we open your book this morning, Lord, as we open this book and we look at the words, Father, we pray that you would just open the wisdom of these words to us. Lord, that you would take these words, give it to our children, Lord, and that they would understand what you bring to them in this message. Father, we pray that not only will you open these words to us, but that your Spirit would make use of the knowledge we gain through these words, so that we might truly shine your light in the world. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Paul writes this, he writes, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For a time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desire, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of the evangelist. Discharge all your duties, all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. May the words of our Lord be a blessing to us. So children, I've named my message today, Finish Well. Why do you think I've named it Finish Well? Because if you run a race, don't you want to finish well? If you run and you want to come first, or you run and you want to finish, don't you want to finish well? We all want to finish well, don't we? We don't want to be losers. Who's a loser? Nobody. There we go. Nobody's a loser. The lions are losers. There's some wisdom from the back. Lions. Paul said to Timothy, fight a good fight, run the race, finish, but he means also finish well. And Paul knows he's at the end of his ministry, and he finished well, so he's passing on this baton, and he's saying to Timothy, you're going to take this over now, and you are going to carry on with this. And he tells Timothy, go and preach the word. Now, the first time, which one of you can spell really good? They all look at their friends. Caleb can spell good. Well, Caleb, if I write and I say, preach the word, and I use a capital letter W, what do I mean? Shouldn't it be a lowercase W? I know you know, you're just shy. Let's ask the grown-ups. Maybe they would know. When Paul writes here to Timothy, he says, preach the word, and he uses a capital letter W. Why does he do that? Because he can't spell. When do you use a lowercase W? Who's the word of God? That's the lowercase one. He uses the capital letter W. Who's the Word of God with a capital letter W? Jesus is the Word of God. Okay? You're teaching these grown-ups something, aren't you? Jesus. So Paul says to Timothy, go preach the Word of God. Go preach Jesus to the world. Okay? It's important. And he says, when you do that, correct, rebuke, and encourage. But do all of this with great patience. Okay? Great patience. And then Paul said to Timothy, for a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. To suit their own desires. To hear what they want to hear. They will get teachers and preachers for them who will tell them what they want to hear. Not the truth, not a capital letter word of God, not Jesus, but what they want to hear. So when you are naughty, when you're kicking the pews in the church, do you want to hear that you are doing something naughty? Do you want to hear that it's wrong to do that? You know what I do when somebody tells me something I don't want to hear? When I'm naughty, when Netta tells me, listen, you shouldn't be doing that, you know what's happening? My ears start to itch. I go, sorry, what are you saying? I can't hear you. You do that too? And when people don't want to hear the truth, they turn away from it. And they start to believe in myths. Do you think that Christians believe in myths? Do they believe in myths? No, they don't. I tell you what, I've brought some of the Holy Spirit with me. So I'm going to take and I'm going to spray you all with Holy Spirit today. Huh? You want some of the Holy Spirit? Don't you want the Holy Spirit? Spoil sport. People, even Christians, believe in myths. And it's not always as obvious as mosquito killer. Huh? It's not always as obvious. Sometimes they will believe in things that's been taught to them for hundreds of years, and they will not believe in the Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus. They will rather believe in things that are dead, like pieces of wood like this, and believe in the Word of God, which is Jesus. So, why do you think Paul speaks of a race? Because our faith life is almost like running a race. And we cannot end well if we cannot run this race. So I thought this morning we'll run a bit of a race. And we look what happens when we're running a race. I'm going to need two helpers here. Sky here this morning. It's one of my confirmation class here. Or two of them or three of them. I think they sometimes sneak in through the back door. I need somebody else to help me. You're just going to stand here and look pretty as all. There's Shanae as well. I've got a piece of string here. And Carl and Thomas are going to sneak in the back door later on, and they're going to get it for this. You hang on to that side. You hang on to that side. And we're going to make a finish line. You come stand here, Shanae. Come stand over here for me. And you come and stand over here in that corner. And we've got a finish line. And at that finish line, if you go look closer, it's the gates of heaven. And now we're going to run a race. I need some people who run really well. If you run a race, who's going to be the forerunners? Ruben, come, bring him. Come stand here. So when you run a race, and you've got a pretty number like this, and you run really well, and you're almost at the finish line, you are the forerunners. Look at the people, they want to see your pretty nice little faces. There we go. And they're almost at the finish line. And so they're running very hard. And they know they're running hard because they understand everything Paul teaches to them. And they grasp everything that they learn in the gospel. And they're ready to run and finish this race well. But they run so fast that they kind of like run away a little bit from other people. And they cannot understand often or sometimes why don't other people understand. Why don't we understand that this Jesus that we're talking of, this word of God with a capital W, that He is the one and only one that can save you. And so they're there, almost there, but they're running at a heck of a speed, and the other stays behind. Then there's sometimes people who run, like me. I've got no sense of direction, and I kind of like lose my way a little bit. Who's going to help me with that? Yeah, here we go. We're losing our way a little bit. So you need some more help. And so sometimes we just run, and the finish line is over that side, but this path is nice and easy, and so we go down this path, and there we go. You just stand away there for me. And people listen to insecular teaching in the church and those type of things. And so sometimes they're very keen to hear Jesus, but they don't often hear the true Jesus. And so they kind of like lose their way. And they follow false teachings. False teachings are just slightly off. False teachings sometimes that tell us in the church that these things are important. And Jesus must take second place. And they want to finish well. They also really want to finish well. And they try their best to finish well. But they misguide it because they listen to these teachers who will speak to their itching ears. Everyone who teaches, somebody's got a fan club. Everyone who teaches is not always teaching the Word of God with the capital W. But you know, these guys in front are getting, they're getting a bit upset now because they're almost there and they can't get there. And there are people in the back here who's, run, Reuben, run. He's almost there. But there's people in the back who just seems to not being able to catch up. People who are hurting. What are you two doing here? Come here. I'm giving him a hiding now. Not really. Pass me this. So sometimes there are people who are hurting. And so what happens when you hurt? What happens when you're hurting? You cannot run that well. And so these guys are getting upset because you're keeping them back. But the fact is that while you are hurting, you need to be comforted. You need to be careful. And you cannot focus so much on running that race at that moment because you yourself are not in a place to really run that hard. And the guys in front are getting very impatient because there are some more of them hanging around to the back. Sometimes we lose family members and loved ones. Who's the ones who are mourning? Who's in mourning? Come. Grab. You come and lead the mourners. Turn away that way. And you two come and help them mourn. Not so long ago, a cat caught a little bird, and now they're in mourning. And they really hurt, and they're struggling. And those guys in front, who are so fit, cannot understand why these people at the back here, who are crying for that little bird that a cat caught the other day, they cannot understand why they are not doing their work at the church. And they wonder, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? We often in churches forget that everybody's not at the same place we are. And then sometimes people get discouraged and you get a few lazy ones. And you get a few others who are discouraged and they'll come and sit here on the sideline. Like the line supporters, you may sit watching all this happening, not getting involved. They'll be here on a Sunday, but don't ask them to bake a cake for a minister. They won't do that. Some of them are just lazy, and some of them just watching, because when they were hurting, people ignored them and they pushed them aside. And so They sit on the sidelines and they watch this whole race. They might just at one stage applaud one of the front runners. But that's not all that happens. Sometimes, and that happens often, I think my mom did it quite often to me. You get people, come you two, who really doesn't want to be right at the front at that moment, but they are forced to be there by somebody else. Because someone used to be a front runner, wanted to get over the finish line, and then what does he do? Go, put your hands on your buddy's shoulders. He forces these other people. How many of you have ever felt that you've been forced to do things? Forced to go to church? Forced to be part of... Yeah. Our front runners get impatient. And they want to make it about their time and not about God's time. And they can't wait for these people to work through all the issues they have to work through. And so they start forcing people. And often people in Christianity feels like I'm forced to do something. I'm forced to be where I'm really not ready to be. And we forget that it's God's work. And God's busy in His time working through this. So how are we going to fix all this? How are we going to get these guys over the line that so much want to get over? Who do we need to help us with this? Jesus. Good. What has Jesus done for us so that we can be able to do this? What has Jesus done? What do you do when you train for any of your sport you take part in? Athletics, anything. What do you do? What do you need? Pray, okay. Johan prays before he plays rugby. But before he gets to that place, what does he do? Training. And what do you need to do when you train? What do you need then? A coach. Don't you have a coach? Don't you have a coach? You don't. You're going to get one now. Some of us are so good, we think we don't need coaches. And then we get a coach of the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do for us in a congregation like this? The Holy Spirit rounds us all up together and make us grab our hands. Grab the hands of the people next to you. Grab your hands. And then the Holy Spirit leads us all through the finish line as one people of God. There we go. Some of us don't want to go. These bench sitters, you see. There they're all in heaven. Give them applause. Don't you think they deserve one? Thank you. You may go take your seats. Do you enjoy that race? The Holy Spirit, our coach, open our understanding. Round up our brothers and sisters, help us to round up our brothers and sisters, and so that we as one body of Christ, as one group of people, can all go over the finish line together. And so, at times, it's necessary that we help our brothers and sisters by correcting them, by rebuking them, by encouraging them, all done through patience. And sometimes we ourselves need to be corrected and rebuked and encouraged. And then we have to rely on our brothers and sisters to do that for us. And so if we do that, we all can finish the race. We all can keep our faith. So, children, what have we learned today? We've learned that Jesus wants us, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to help everybody across the finish line. Isn't that so? Yes, everyone, even that one that you skinnered about last week. It's not important to be first, but it's important to get all of us over the finish line. And it's not an easy task. People will turn their ears away from the truth, and they will turn aside to myths. And Paul warned Timothy almost 2,000 years ago that people will do this. People still do it. Paul said to Timothy, they will turn their ears away from the truth and aside to myths. And then he said, but you keep your head in all situations, endure hardships, do the work of evangelists, discharge all the duties of your ministry. We can learn this from Paul. Don't give in. Don't give up. People will resist if you preach Jesus. People will resist if you show how Jesus lives, how Jesus wants us to live our lives. That Jesus wants no swearing from us, no talking bad about somebody or some friend of ours if that friend's not there, not taking any belongings of your friends, not talking bad behind the back of a teacher. Jesus would not have done any of these, so he wants us not to do this. And when your friends at school and your friends where you go play hear this, they might want to resist. But remember what Paul said. But Paul said, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So just as we've crossed the finish line, one day we will all cross the finish line together, and then we will get a prize that Jesus has kept for us as winners. So, just before we finish off, I want to tell our children not to mind the people of this world with the itching ears. Keep on running. Keep on running this race of your faith. And while you run it, take the hands of your friends alongside you. Help them all across the line. Can we do that? Only if I give you a sweet will you do that. We can do that because we've got a coach. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for having our children here in our congregation, being part of our worship service. Lord, we thank you for the willingness to learn. Lord, we thank you for the pure and beautiful hearts. Father, we pray that as they continue on this journey of faith of theirs, that they would not be misled, Lord, that they would not fall into any of the traps that waits for us along this route. Lord, but that you, through your Holy Spirit, would hold onto their hands and lead them all across the finish line. So one day that we, when we sit together with you in your kingdom, Lord, in your heaven, that we will all know that we have finished and finished well. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.